I add a little essay I have written especially for this reading. Poetry being, as I believe, faulty, and just because it is poetry, something made up, a representation of the human best in the utterance of words rather than an actuality of speaking circumstance dedicated to such a best, what is there to suggest that poetry can be transcended? In a little work called The Telling, I attempted to open to the imagination of possibility a scene of speaking wherein what is said to one another. A communicating is envisaged here of that which each has to tell, of what we all have to tell, in the expertness of being we have in being human, tell one another. But do I do more in that work than show the possibility of conceiving of speaking in which there is address to one another, dedicated address? How can I know that what I say in it will reach humanly open ears and earn the company of other saying, offerings of other tongues to the proposed actuality of our being a unity of audience and address? Until such unity is achieved, can any single saying be all delivered, be a full saying, or we be fully actual, as those formed to speak to one another, the human? Let us think what can be learnt by examining the pattern of perfection to which poetry conforms. Where is the faultiness? It is that the perfection is the perfection of a pattern. The address of poetry is a closed circuit. It returns to itself. It plays the part of both address and audience. Much is written on the function of the poem of producing effects on the reader or listener as its audience. But the reader or listener is drawn into the closed circuit, loses existence in the poem's identification of address and audience. The only element in this pattern that can countervail the magnetic attraction of it to itself is a generosity in the poem laboring outwards towards the reader or listener that the poem is drawing inwards into its circuit of address. This element gives to poems a virtue above their perfection as patterned utterance, causes something of human perfection to be present in the poem. The addition, which is almost secretly made, cannot break the humanly faulty enclosedness of the poem in itself. But what real touches of perfection a poem have are the gift of this element, nor easily does the gift make itself at home there. Neither critics nor, neither poets nor critics nor readers, listeners, have any distinct consciousness of what I have described. And it would be very difficult to identify instances of this other kind of goodness of utterance as departures from the norm of poetic utterance. While I have this tenuous matter in momentary grasp, let me attempt a practical characterization of this good in words that can be found mingled in poetry with its kind of good, but is something else, something more, and yet is swallowed up in the poetic. It is a speaking that sends words out not to stop till they reach another. Words so sent in poems do not get out, but it is possible in some places, in some poems, to feel the force of the sending, to recognize the sent words. When sent words actually travel, the private occasion of utterance evaporates. Poetry's faultiness is such that poems remain spoken within the poet's private occasion of utterance. They are by their nature a less than perfectly human speaking. What is then the sounding they make among us as of a perfect speaking? It is an invented speaking that puts us behind ourselves in an immediacy lying between non-human foretime and human now. It is a queer purchase of a nondescript immediacy in utterance at the price of the possibility of a perfectly human articulate immediacy. The price is paid in the coin of doubt of the possibility, though the character of the money is not generally comprehended. At stake is the effort to do otherwise with words than what can be done within the range of the respectable or the accepted in imperfection. The relation between doing such an otherwise with words and an imperfection surmounting otherwise with ourselves, human, is functionally of the closest. The confusions attending what we try to do and do linguistically and humanly are of the same moral kind. I might be charged with having added to these confusions by devoutly serving poetry and then solemnly renouncing it. I wish I could have moved faster in the effort to find the otherwise of words, could have outgrown sooner the innocence that makes poetry seem to be the place in which to look for it. I at least discovered that that otherwise is at the remove from how we ordinarily do with words, at which poetry is, while being yet not that otherwise. It is a remove of chosen delay in having that otherwise come next. Poetry is an interposition between this next and ourselves, the ones of the nature to speak to one another and be our all in saying our all. The name of poetry is kind, but it cannot make the deflected good in words, the perfection of less than all, spoken as if all might be hidden within it, into outright address, cannot make it otherwise.